Brunch is back, ladies and gentlemen, and Yelp Guest Manager is here to help the Sunday Funday crowd find your restaurant. Yelp Guest Manager is the no-fee way to fill your tables, so prepare to spend less. But you're also getting a whole lot more. We're plugging your restaurant into the biggest consumer network in the U.S., creating massive awareness with the folks looking to book now. Sign up for Yelp Guest Manager today to get delayed billing for 60 days to start the brunch season off right. Go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to grow your restaurant, not your expenses. Terms apply. Now here we go.
But there's a lot you can do. It doesn't have to cost you $1 trillion to do it. But at the real basic level is just take a look around you. I used to just walk into those places with food, drop it off at the reception desk and said, hey, next time you guys do a board meeting or whatever, think of me.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back. And we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. In any industry, but especially in ours, it's vital to control the controllables. For most of us, sales is not one of the things we can control or even influence. But what if we could? Today, we're sitting down with Jonathan Morse, the founder of CCC, an event management software helping restaurant owners scale sales and create predictable revenue streams through events and catering. We'll pair my winning strategies for generating event business with his software, which makes it easy to close sales and book more business. At an average net profit of 30 to 35%, this event strategy could revolutionize your business.
So my background's always been in restaurants and hotels. I have a very similar story that most restaurateurs tell. I was a busboy at an Italian dive bar at 13, just worked in restaurants all through college. And then after college, I kind of changed gears and started to work for hotels, Marriott and Starwood and what have you. Starwood's now Westin and Sheraton. And when I was at hotels, I was a catering sales manager and association salesperson. So I planned large events for like large multi-day conferences and what have you. And fast forward to how I got all involved in this is that I was booking a large conference in Boston and I had to put it in multiple properties, multiple hotels. And back in those days, you had to call each property to understand what their occupancy was. Well, I was looking for some kind of software that I could use to kind of look at occupancy across the board without having to pick up the phone 20 times. I found a company that could do it. And when I was speaking with them about what I wanted, they asked me if I wanted to work for them. So I kind of jumped ship. I went from hotels and restaurants to technology for hotels and restaurants. And that's how I kind of got my start in both those worlds, and not only in doing sales, catering, everything in restaurants and hotels, and also in technology for hospitality.
For those that are unfamiliar, what is CCC?
Sure. So CCC is a sales and event management application for restaurants and hotels that helps them increase their bookings and sales, and also helps them with the streamlining of the planning process. For anybody who's ever done event sales, it's kind of a reap what you sow. Not only do you sell it, but you plan it. I mean, for the longest time until CCC showed up, all of that was done on paper and pen. It was a manual process. I was a victim manual process when I was a VP of sales for a tech company. I was planning a large dinner party, if you will, private event. And when I had the event itself, the event manager lost the paperwork. So she kind of was winging it, and it didn't go, as you can imagine, as well as it could have. So when I asked her about it after the event, she told me that she lost the paperwork. And I was just like, why aren't you using technology? I mean, it's 2008. I mean, come on. And she told me that there is no technology for restaurants specifically, and that the only kind of software that's out there is not geared towards restaurants, complicated, it's expensive, it's difficult to use. And you had to buy like hardware and software to even install it. So I was just like, that's bananas. So that's how Triple C kind of got started. It was from a lousy private event.
I love it. If we set out to fix every foundational issue there is within, let's say, like the hospitality industry, we'd be busy for multiple lifetimes. And for the millions of people that are in the industry, we see these issues every day. And very few of us are setting out to fix these issues, especially with like no background in technology. I would think that would be a hurdle.
Yeah.
What made you think you? What made you raise your hand and think, oh, I can fix this?
It's a good question. They told me that they were still using paper and pen. I was like, just no way. And I did some investigation. I talked to a lot of people I still knew in the restaurant world. I was still selling technology to restaurants, so I had a lot of customers that I was talking to. And the amount of pride people were showing me about their notebooks, like they had libraries of notebooks and three-ring binders and these Excel spreadsheets with 1,000 tabs on them, I was panicked. I was just like, this is just so, so bad. It's $1 million-plus business that you're running on Post-it notes. So what made me start it was out of sheer wanting to help. That was it. It wasn't like I came up with a business plan. It was, I was like, I have to help. This is so bad that I have to help. And that's how I just jumped in.
If I remember correctly, you didn't just jump in with both feet. You did transition over, right? That you went from being an employee to an owner over time. The reason I ask is because making the entrepreneurial leap is terrifying and exciting at the same time.
It can be. So it kind of all kind of worked out, right? Which is in the respect that I didn't raise any money. I bootstrapped it. And I'm not a developer. So first step was find a developer. So Kevin, who's my co-founder, is a developer. And I found him just by being scrappy and just going out there and out into the interwebs and saying, hey, listen, I need somebody to build this, and convincing them that it's worth their time. And I did that with Kevin. And meanwhile, while this was going on, I did quit my job, but I was kind of consulting for other technology companies and kind of doing that thing to keep, you know, I had three kids at the time. Well, still have three kids, but I had three kids who were young, and my wife was working. So it was definitely a risk, but I was pretty much convinced that this is something that the restaurant industry needed. And Kevin built a prototype pretty quickly, like in 6 or 7 months. And I was able to, I took the prototype and I walked right into a restaurant in Boston, waiting for them to tell me to go pound sand. And they didn't. They actually asked me how much it was. I didn't even have a price at the time. So I made it up on the spot. They cut me a check and I got my first customer on my first call. And it's like, holy shit, I think I'm right. And I went across the street to another restaurant and I said, hey, listen, this restaurant here just bought it. So now you're behind. And then they bought it. So I think I went 3 for 5 that day selling Triple C door to door.
That's amazing. And I read an article, your initial product tester was your 80-year-old mother.
Yeah, that's right. So the reason it was my mother is because, as we all know, restaurant folks are, they're there to serve the hot food hot and the cold food cold and provide hospitality. And they're not necessarily the strongest technology users on the planet. So my thinking was, if my mother could create a booking, then a person at a restaurant could do it. So we used her as kind of the test base and watched we would say, hey, create an event for 50 people on a Saturday night in this room. And we would watch how she would do it. And when she got stuck, we're like, that's where everybody else is going to get stuck. So we kind of smoothed it out.
Let's talk about vision and the professionalization of the company. You've got 3 of 5 customers day one. At some point, you think to yourself, holy shit, we've got the tiger by the tail. We've really got something here. And then it goes from being like you and some colleagues and a couple of friends and your wife's helping out to needing to become a legitimate organization. One of the things that you just mentioned, which I think is important to reiterate, is vision, right? Because if you had lacked that vision from the beginning, it'd be a very different company today. It'd be a very different software platform because you would have been more susceptible to the influence of other people. At what point did you solidify the vision and how did you go about professionalizing the company?
So it's interesting. Professionalizing the company, it depends who you ask. Triple C and the whole thing just started off innocently enough, right? It was just like, I'm here to help restaurants with their event management business through my software. And as things start to happen, and you get bigger and bigger companies, SaaS companies in particular, go through different stages. And you get your first $1 million in sales and you're like, holy shit, we're a $1 million company. And sometimes that's all you need to be. Throw the football down, call it a touchdown. But as you continue to grow, you'll become a $5 million company, maybe a $10 million company. And during these different stages of growth, you're going to have different challenges and you're going to have to start planning for those challenges to come. I like to say that most companies die at $6 million in revenue, which sounds like a lot. But when you hit $6 million in revenue, that's really a crossing point, which is you could really screw it up if you don't have the right people to get you to the 10. But that's where companies go to die, is at $6 million, because now some people feel like they've made it. They've made it. Look at us, $6 million. We've got an office. We've got all this stuff. They start to get a little lackadaisical, if you will, on expenses, what their growth plans are. Their discipline starts to disappear. But if you know this, you'll start getting the right people in place. That's the time to get a CFO, right? That's the time to get maybe an operations like a COO. You should be definitely by then have like a VP of sales, a VP of marketing, should have all that in place to get you to the next level versus not having that and either treating it like a lifestyle company. You're making money. Everybody, all your friends are and the employees are making money and you're good. Or you say, hey, listen, I want to scale this up to 10 and beyond. And you have to start recognizing when you're hitting those levels that you're set up for success to get there.
Let's talk about scaling culture. The culture has been a central focus for you as well. Do you prefer dogs or cats?
See, it's always dogs, man. It's always dogs. Sorry, cat people.
I read this really interesting article about you, and it said that it's one of the questions that you used to ask in interviews. And you did it because there were dogs all over the office. And so if somebody said cats, they weren't paying attention to the dynamics within the company, which I think speaks to a larger issue. Talk to me about how you build culture at scale.
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that a lot. So again, we sell to restaurants and we sell to hotels. In the restaurant world, as you know, is pretty much interactive, fire putting out things, motions. Every day is a little bit different. There's a lot of motion, there's a lot of emotion, and I would say about 80% of the people that work at Triple C are from the restaurant background, right? So having them transition like I did from restaurants into technology, if I had cubicles and like offices and it was stodgy and everybody was wearing a suit and tie, I don't think they would survive. I think they would feel stifled and probably end up quitting. And every time you hire, it costs a lot of money to hire somebody and it costs even more money to lose them. And because they're coming from kind of jumping from restaurants into technology, they have the same passion that I have in regards to, you want to help our customers, restaurants be successful. We want to harness that passion and kind of like entrepreneurial spirit in a culture that can scale up, right? So when they found a home, but now they want to like be a manager now or be a VP, we have to foster that, educate that, help them get to where they want to go within our four walls. So there's a lot of education that happens inside of CCC in regards to getting you to the next level as a professional. And it's also, we're kind of spread out. My company is 50-50, meaning 50% of it's remote, 50% in an office. And after COVID, everybody was like, oh, I don't want to work from an office, or I do want to work from an office. Most people are like, I want to be remote forever. I made a big decision, said, screw that. We're going back to the office. And the reason we're going back to the office is because of that energy and because of that communication. You lose that outside of an office. But people, for the most part, were okay with that because they understood that's where the energy is and that's where the communication's happening. And the final part of this is because we are social by nature and also kind of spread apart, being 50-50, we do company trips every year, but it started small. Like we had like 50 employees. We went to Nantucket, which is spectacular, but 50 employees in Nantucket is not exactly cheap, but at the same time, it could hold us, right? Now we're 220 people and people are still like, we want to do company trips. And I'm like, that's great. So last year, I think it was in September, we went to Wyoming, right? I took 220 people to Wyoming. In the year before that, we went to Ireland. I took like 175 people to Ireland. But these company trips sound fun and they are fun. They're for a purpose. So it's like we're putting people together, not in the office, in a place where they can connect with each other on a different level, not on necessarily on a work level. So a trip in Wyoming, we went to Yellowstone, and then we also had, they could choose different activities the next day. They could do horseback riding or whitewater rafting or ATVing. But it's interesting. Somebody chooses horseback riding. A developer chose horseback riding too. So it's like, hey, I don't know you, but we like horses. So it creates that connection, but not only personally, but also to the office and also to the mission that we're trying to do.
Here's why I had you on the show. I wanted to talk about events.
Okay,
and catering. Here we go. Let's dig in. So I coach independent owners and operators and multi-unit guys like all across the country. And I literally had a call before this one with a client and he was like, I want to scale delivery. And let me say, like a huge part of my program is diversifying revenue. And I think that for a lot of folks out there, they're thinking like hot sauce and t-shirts. And that's not where I'm going with it. It's events and catering and gift cards. These are the things that we can sell at scale. And so you look at events and catering and you look at that opportunity relative to scaling up delivery. And here's what I'll tell you. I think that everybody's focused on getting more people into their restaurant to dine, or the onesie twosies as it relates to delivery. And just like people will tell you that it's as much work to build a $100,000 business as it is to build a $10 million business, there's a lot to be said for focus. And I think that if many or most of the folks listening put that effort, that maniacal focus around scaling events, instead of just allowing it to be incidental income, this inbound, when it happens and we appreciate it business, it would revolutionize their restaurants. And I know you've seen that as well. You facilitated 3.5 million event bookings in 2023 and managed over $7 billion in event revenue. That was just last year. That's not lifetime.
No, that's just last year. Yeah.
It's bananas. Talk to me about the opportunity that you see out there for restaurants and kind of that paradigm shift kind of before and after having a focus on events and catering.
Yeah. So it's really interesting, right? COVID accelerated a lot of things, and COVID definitely accelerated delivery and mostly delivery, but pickup and all of that, right? Pre-COVID, everybody's worried about how the French fries are going to be soggy on takeout, right? And then post it, it was like, we're sending out pizza kits. So events didn't have the benefit of COVID, right? It had the opposite benefit. what we saw during COVID and for restaurants made owners of restaurants realize the importance of events. Because when you say events and COVID, everybody has the same thought, which is like, there are none. But this is what really happened. When COVID hit and restaurants had to shut down, we didn't lose a lot of customers. We lost a fraction of customers. And the reason being is everybody that had something booked in 2020 rebooked in 2021, but they needed software to do that. That's reason number one. Reason number two is, and this is what I say all the time, birthdays never went away. And so they weren't going to have a birthday party in 2020 at your restaurant, but they're damn sure going to have a birthday party at your restaurant in 21, right? And in 22 and in 23. Bridal showers didn't go away. People still having babies, and they're going to have that bridal shower at your restaurant. And the third part of this is people were booking in 2020 their bridal shower, their birthday party in 2020 for 2021, and restaurants were asking for a deposit, 50%, 60% deposit, which was cash free. So that was cash that kept the business going. So they realized that events are a bunch of things. One, it's predictable revenue. It's booked. It's booked into the future. If you're running a restaurant that's like an a la carte restaurant, you don't know what every day, you can kind of predict, but you don't know what every day is going to look like. If it rains, it doesn't rain. If it's like whatever, the bad weather, snows, it could dive your revenue, whatever. But with events, it's predictable revenue. You can legitimately know how much revenue you're going to pull in next month. It's cash flow. As for the deposits, that cash comes in. You can use that cash, right? And third, it's the most profitable thing you can do for your restaurant. It's the most profitable thing you can do. So it's predictable, cash flow, and profitable. A lot of times people don't do events because they think they need a private room and they think they need all this stuff, or they think it's 1 month out of the year, right? It's in December. Totally not true on all accounts. For a restaurant, you don't need a private room. A lot of our restaurants don't have a private room. They have a section. They're like, it's to the left of the bar or to the right of the main window. Or sometimes they just put up a screen, right? So you don't need a private room. Two is it doesn't cost anything to do events. Just put it on your website, right? Just put it on your website. We do events. And the third part of it is just getting with the chef in the kitchen and coming up with a watered down, if that's the right word, a scaled down menu that you can do at scale. Meaning like if it takes 30 minutes to make a single dish, don't offer that dish, right? Do stuff that you can serve out in bulk. And the final thing here is we have restaurants that say, hey, listen, we have 15 to 20 seats. Fine. Don't do it in the restaurant. Give them the ability to pick it up or you can deliver it to them, right? Same thing with the menu. Because people with smaller restaurants, if people want to do events, they like your food. So bring it to them. You can do that or they can pick it up. So there's so much opportunity and there's so low barrier of entry. It's just incredible how much a restaurant can do. And my final point here is, especially coming out of COVID, event managers were hard to find, right? And because a lot of them got laid off and went and did not return to restaurants, they ended up going someplace else. But there's a new breed of event managers out there, and you have one in your restaurant. You do. You just have to ask. But you do not have to have a dedicated event manager either. A little self-promotion with Triple C, you have with Triple C Direct, you have the ability to have your website be the event manager. And what I mean by that is if you ever went and bought an airline ticket, you purchase the ticket, you purchase your seat, and you check out. Same with a hotel. We can do the same thing with events where a consumer can go to your website, choose their date, choose the space, choose the menu and pay. And all that information comes to you. You can accept or deny that event if you want, and you're done. You don't need all the back and forth. If you want to do that, you can do that too. If you want to have an event manager and do all that, you can do that too. Not mutually exclusive. All we're trying to do is give you the best of all the worlds, depending on size and where you're at. So my advice is that starting your event business is easier than scaling your delivery business.
100%. My personal story is, you know, we had this fine dining restaurant and we generated like $250,000 in inbound event inquiries. And so that was beautiful. And then I was like, well, I wonder if we can scale this up. So I became my own events manager. And that year we did $1 million in events. And the next year we did $1.4 million in events. And the reason is I became an addict, right? Like it is this beautiful money at like a 30 to 35% margin. It was predictable. I was saving a ton on labor because I was able to shut down the restaurant. And I just became obsessed. And what I want to drill down into is the predictability. Because a lot of people think, like, how could it be predictable if people are just inbound making inquiries? And I would argue the point that outbound works too. To have a professional marketing conversation, my question would be, how many emails would you need to send out to people that could conceivably host an event or order catering from you to hit $500,000 or $1 million in revenue? And one, I don't think it's as many as you think. And number two, you also have to think about all the ancillary benefits. Even if they don't end up booking an event or ordering catering with you, they might have not known that your restaurant existed. So maybe you got a patron off of that. Number two, if they do book 50 people, 100 people, 150 people that may have never been to your restaurant before or had your food before have now been made aware through that event order or that catering. And the third thing is this. In your business, the magic is MRR, right? Monthly recurring revenue. And through events and through catering, we can achieve the same thing. Here's what I found as it relates to corporate events. If they have one event with you and you don't mess it up, they'll have another one. Why would they guess? Why would they risk it? The same we've seen for birthdays and for anniversaries. If you don't screw the pooch, at the end of the day, they're not going to risk doing anything anywhere else. So you're marketing to people that already know that you can execute at a high level. And so it's the reason that this conversation is so important, because we started by talking about 3.5 million event bookings and 7 billion in event revenue. And those numbers are up 20% year over year from 2022, which is bananas. I pulled a bunch of data. Wedding receptions are now the leading revenue generator, and they amassed $862 million worth of revenue for restaurants in 2023. How do you get there?
So I say this to restaurant people all the time. This is the conversations I have almost on a daily. I was visiting a restaurant and they were asking me that very question. It was like, how do I get the business, right? It's like, I want to do this. This sounds great, but I have no clue of how to generate leads. But of course you do. You're in the restaurant business. People are walking in your door. They're just not walking in your door because you put a sign up. You know what to do. My point here is this restaurant was across the street from a church. And I'm like, weddings and wakes. You don't have to do a lot. Go to the church, walk across the street to the church with some food and say, hey, listen, can I leave these pamphlets with you? And can you give them to your brides and to whoever that we're open for business at the restaurant for events? So within a mile radius, take a look around. If you're in a mile radius, look around at what's in a mile radius. If there's a church there, odds are there are weddings and wakes all day long, right? If you're near a hospital, right? I'll be positive on this one. Bridal showers. Not bridal showers, excuse me. Baby showers, right? Yes. Not bridal showers. But you get my point, which is understand what's around. Now, everybody's kind of saying like corporate business is the mother's milk. And I understand why, because they pay more and they're not so fussy on the budget and they pay faster, right? All of that is true. But what's interesting in 21, 22, and 23, social business, like birthday parties, their average rate is almost the same as the corporate rate, right? So they social, and if you also feel like you want to get more money, then move social to a slower date for you, like a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and reserve the prime dates and make sure you're charging more for your like Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, whatever the case may be. So you have to understand your space and the value of your space. So you don't take like a baby shower, but you're possibly leaving $3,000, $4,000 on the table because you should have taken a more expensive event. But that's an aside. But going to the marketing, market within your restaurant, right? You can do table tents. I don't know if those are still in fashion, but table tents, or put something in the host stand, have business cards, put something on your menu. There's a host of things you can do. Two, put it on your website. You'd be amazed at how many people bury the fact that they do events. Make it its own tab. Again, you'd be amazed at, like, you have to click around all over the place to find that they actually do events. And the majority of people are going to find you is online, right? So SEO is a voodoo word that people don't understand what SEO is, but it's really just, to really simplify it, it's just keywords like events, right? Or like catering or whatever you want to word, and then plaster it all over your webpage for events, and SEO over time will start to pick it up. And if you want to get a little bit more sophisticated, you can start getting into AdWords and Facebook ads and stuff like that. But there's a lot you can do. It doesn't have to cost you $1 trillion to do it. But at the real basic level, is just take a look around you. And if you're in the finance district, I used to do this when I was in hotels. I used to just walk into those places with food. Drop it up at the reception desk and said, hey, next time you guys do a board meeting or whatever, think of me. Here's my card. Go to the next office.
We did the same thing with legal firms and accounting firms and economics firms.
That's right.
Because we knew they were using other people's money, right? These are people that catered lunch multiple times a week, and they were doing it using other people's money. So there was no price sensitivity. So we went to the office manager and we said, hey, why don't you come in for lunch? I think what we're doing is pretty cool. And if you like it, maybe you can consider us for your next catering order. And they did. And then we said, you ordered from us twice in 2 months. Why don't we put you on a monthly program? This is what the benefit looks like.
That's the other benefit of Triple C. It's like you have all this data, right? You have their email address.
Right.
So all you have to do is maybe once a month on a little drip campaign, you can use any email marketing software out there. There's super cheap to super expensive. You don't need the super expensive. And just do a drip, meaning you send it like slowly over time. You just set it and forget it. And you say, hey, listen, Super Bowl's coming up. We can do a Super Bowl corporate party, or Valentine's Day is coming up, or name a holiday. Like if you're near colleges, right? Say, listen, graduation is just around the corner. Do a professor dinner. Then it all boils down to is just what's around you. And use all these, we're living in the golden age of tech now, everything that's available to you to spread the word.
Speaking of the golden age of tech, what's the next evolution of Triple C? What are you guys brewing that you're excited about that's coming down the pike?
Yeah, so I mentioned Triple C Direct, which I'm over the moon about, which is the ability for consumers to book their own events. And we've seen a huge influx of especially corporate business wanting to do this, right? Because they love you, event managers. They do, but sometimes they just want to book it. And this gives them the ability to do that. And this is new to restaurants and it's new to consumers, but consumers have gravitated towards it, right? Because we're all about convenience, no friction, want it right away, instant gratification. I want to book my birthday party and I want steak and a birthday cake and hit send. Here's my money. Take it. Right now we give them the ability to do that. So that's huge evolution for restaurants and for consumers. Two, what we just released is Triple C tickets. And this is tickets in the respect of like, I want to do a wine dinner, right? Or I want to do a chef's table. You can now sell tickets to it via Triple C. And this is also another great marketing opportunity to get people in your restaurants to understand how you do events, because you're doing your own event and you're selling tickets to it. And you're making money too. So it's an ROI times 1,000, right? You know, it's like you're making money off the tickets and you're getting new customers to come in to understand events. So you should be doing chef tables, wine tastings, whatever you can think of, whatever experience that fits you for your brewery. Same thing, like brewery tours or like tastings. Awesome for breweries. And so we just released that. We're pretty excited about that. Another thing we just released is what we're calling large party reservations. We don't have very sexy names. So, but large party reservations is a majority of restaurants, I would argue almost all of them. If you want to book a party of six or more, they want you to call. Again, restaurants are doing it to themselves. They're causing this friction. Most people don't want to call, right? And I understand why restaurants are doing it, right? If you get a party of 6 to 15, it could take the kitchen down. You need a lot of planning. You need more servers. But it's not big enough to be an event, right? So it's in that super great world. But you're leaving a ton of money on the table by making people contact you or email you or call you. They just don't want to do it. So we gave the restaurant the ability for people to book large parties, but you control it, meaning you can set up when you want to do large parties, how big the large parties can be, all the stuff that you want control over. So if I say, hey, listen, I want to do a party of 10, the consumer can go on your website, book a party of 10 on their date. You don't have to pick a room because it's not a private event. They don't have to pick a table either. And then you could also either offer a smaller menu for them, which won't bring the kitchen down, or no menu. It's up to you. And then they can book it and they can also reserve it, meaning they can put a credit card down to hold it. So if they don't show, whatever the case may be, you can charge. So we just released this too. So that's another revenue source that we've taken the friction completely away from. So now you can do a la carte reservations like you typically would on your reservation system. You can use Triple C for large party reservations for your events and also for like self-service events and for delivery and takeout and catering. So those are all the stuff that we just released. What I think the next thing is coming down the pike, which I'm super excited about and diving deep, deep, deep on, is AI, artificial intelligence. It is a game changer, and it's here, and it's not going away. I tell people all the time, like, for me, the four things that kind of changed my life was the remote for the TV. That's how old I am. The remote for the TV, right? Email, internet, the phone, the iPhone, and now it's AI. What it can do and how it can help your business within our software is just kind of next level.
This is an industry podcast, and at the end of the episode, I'd like to give the guests an opportunity to speak directly to the audience. Do you have any advice or words of encouragement you'd like to offer?
Yeah, keep on keeping on. You made it through the worst of it. Now it's time to just kind of scale up the business. Stay focused on what you're doing. And if you're not in the event business, get into it. And if you are in the event business and you're looking to see how you can scale it up even more, give us a call. We're here to help.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins. And the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie. And Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's Jonathan Morse. For more information on Triple C, visit tripleC.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Kopel. You've been listening to Full Comp.